of this recording, England 105, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onuroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square, near Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her, and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice of name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. She tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered either. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then she confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that the course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much. But Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for the cure. I come from a town called Reigate, which is situated in the southeast of Surrey. I've lived here pretty much my entire life, the only exception being a stint in London for university. So my accent is pretty typical of that of someone from Surrey. It's quite close to received pronunciation. Reigate itself is quite a sought-after town for bringing up children and, I suppose, transport links to London. It's quite a conservative area. It's quite interesting being from a liberal family in the middle of a conservative heartland. It's sort of very home counties. Our most famous resident is Margot Fonteyn, I guess. My background, my mother is mainly from Reigate. My father's from Newcastle. But as he came down here when he was a student, he lost the accent pretty quickly. His father's from India, but then again, he was always quite well-spoken, so I suppose my accent is a bit nature, a bit nurture. And I do listen to a lot of radio and audiobooks, you know, and have done since I was very small. So I suppose my accent has been influenced by that a little bit. And I speak naturally quite quickly when I'm speaking, when I'm just talking, rambling like this. It's quite a neutral accent. I suppose it's quite good for speaking, or you know, I think it's just a very interesting place. It's not a very interesting place to live, but it's sort of in the middle of you know, one way you've got leafy woodland, the other way you've got the city. Can't speak now. I think generally it's quite interesting. My background is, you know, it's fairly common for this area. I went to a state school, but it's quite a well-to-do area. I think a bit snobby, but and it's Surrey's most famous now for being the place that Harry Potter fictionally grew up with his evil aunt and uncle. So take from that what you will.